This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Okay, hour number two of the G-Back Nation here on a Cowboys Monday. We are off and running. We're going to talk NFC, AFC, Super Bowl, and the top questions that will define the matchup. Are we just 28 and a half hours away from the return of Kristaps Porzingis, though? That's a question for you to be talking about.
Will he ever play again?
He said yesterday he's targeting Tuesday.
Okay.
That would be tomorrow. Quote, the way I'm feeling, I don't see why there should be any hurdles. But you never know. So I'm just putting in the work, making sure the knee is strong, leg is strong. I do believe he's as physical therapied as he's going to get. So I don't want to hear the I'm getting strong to insulate myself from injury anymore. You tried that for 20 months. It didn't work. Okay, let's go to extreme load management. Everybody's got to be grown up about this. Fans.
Play every eighth game.
Yes, at most.
Some humans aren't made to play 82 games in a year. He's not.
Yeah, find the number.
He's proven it for 5 years now that 82 games is way too many for that body.
You assume 25 for the postseason. Add however many regular season games you think he can withstand over an eight-month period, and that is your total.
Just have him play home games in the postseason. Don't make the road trips.
You know, hey, I tell you what, they are figuring stuff out without Porzingis. They're on a nice little jaunt here, four straight wins. Coach Rick Carlisle saying last night we have Monday, and then we'll see where we are for Tuesday. But Sunday was good. He was out there the whole time. He competed. We did some live stuff, which he was in, so good stuff. Thumbs up from Rick Carlisle. This is where we were last week after, what, the Wednesday game or the Tuesday game. He was going to go play, and he'd had a full workout the day before, and then he went out there on a court, and after about 15 minutes, he and the trainer, Casey Smith, said, boom, we're out. So I think these next, again, 30 hours are crucial for Porzingis in the second half of the season. I don't know. If I had to set an over-under, how many games is Porzingis going to play over the final 40 now? They have 40 games left right after Friday's win.
I'll say 15.
Yeah, that's about where I'd put it. Yeah, somewhere in the teens right now. And I'm hoping if he comes back and plays tomorrow night and then we get to Wednesday and there's no pain or inflammation, then maybe I'll kick it up to 32 or something like that.
Okay, good.
So that's where I'm at with that.
Tim Hardaway's killing it, though.
Yes, he is.
Shout out to Tim Hardaway. He's shooting 43% from three this month.
Yeah.
And averaging about 18 a game. That dude's balling right now.
Yeah, there's an article in The Athletic about that, Jeff. It's interesting you'd bring that up, considering you emailed it to me over the weekend.
And, that is interesting that I would bring that up.
Yeah, the Tim Hardaway Jr. story there. It's a good one, and I think we'll build on that a little bit later on in the show. 620, the reasons that it's good for him, it's good for the team, and maybe another sign that Rick Carlisle is just a damn genius.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take your players who you think can't crack a rotation. I'll take your players who you think probably got to be sixth men because of their playing style, and boom, I'll make them starters. Just give me Luka. It'll be all good.
that helps.
Okay, the questions that will define the Chiefs and 49ers Super Bowl. The first one is who should be the favorite. It opened at KC minus one and an over-under at 52. It's moved to 1.5 now with an over-under of 53.5. Not only a mistake by Vegas this week, Jeff.
Whoa.
But a mistake apparently by the wise guys because they're jumping on Kansas City here.
I have no idea who should be the favorite because rule number one is if you just want to bet on the better quarterback, I get it. They have the most say on the outcome of the game. So totally get it. But if I go through this roster by roster, I think San Francisco has a better O-line. I think their weapons, Kansas City maybe, but it's a near push. When you bring out George Kittle, Emmanuel Sanders, and Deebo Samuel, that's good. Yeah. Sammy Watkins isn't good.
Good weapons.
So the Chiefs have Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman. It's like they're both good. Defensive line, 49ers, big time. Linebackers, 49ers. Secondary, 49ers. O-line, 49ers. It's the quarterback. That's the difference.
But I asked you last week if you thought that the Kansas City Chiefs had the best pass catchers in the NFL. Like, if you're ranking teams by... And you said yes, but then that would mean you have San Francisco at number two?
They're really good.
Okay.
I would take that over Gallup and Cooper. Maybe not. But they're good. the 49er weapons are good.
Yeah, they're not trash.
Right, you're not pointing to that and going, well, they can't win. Their weapons aren't good enough. Deebo Samuel and Emmanuel Sanders and George Kittle is plenty good.
Yeah, it's a nice little collection they've scrapped together, haven't they? Okay, and I just think that the 49ers defense is so stout and the offense has been physically dominant. You got to be kidding me, you know? And the Chiefs do have a couple of nice players on defense. Is it Chris Jones?
Chris Jones is good.
Frank Clark, obviously.
He's good.
How has Reggie Ragland assimilated? What is this, his second or third year injury-prone linebacker?
Yeah, he's always hurt.
He's pretty good when healthy. Anthony Hitchens, as we know, is an average linebacker. Honey Badger's good. So I don't imagine the 49ers are going to have an issue just continuing this terrifying display of, it's not only confusion, but power at the line of scrimmage offensively.
Yeah.
And then defensively, it's so much power and speed. To me, it's crazy. You know, Raheem Mostert runs for 220, second most in playoff history by an individual.
Best running back in the league.
That doesn't happen by accident, you know, especially considering what they did against the Vikings and how dominant at times the run game looked throughout the regular season. I think in the divisional round, they had at one point 12 runs in a row. And yesterday they had a stretch of 8 runs in a row. Garoppolo ends up throwing 8 passes, and they're completely dominant. But all we hear about is the Kansas City offense. And despite the fact they lack an above-average defense, they're favored. Now, again, I'm in all a horrible run. This might be the worst run of sports wagering I've had since my binge drinking years. Yeah, okay, Mike's just been kicking my ass. Going.
I've been on, because now that I think about it, I've actually already Venmo'd him more than you owe him. Wow. So, like, I keep hearing your number that you owe. So it's like, man, Gavin's doing terrible this year, but I just forgot. I pay as I go. So, congrats,
here's
Mike.
The
on
two
a big
things.
Year.
You really believed in the Cowboys when I quit on them. Uh-huh. I was like, they're not good. And you're like, no, they're good. They're better than Buffalo, Chicago, whoever. They're better than all these teams. And I was like, that's great. Let's keep betting $100 on this. And you kept doing it. And I just let Gavin, because I didn't have a great feel on San Francisco. I'm not saying, oh, man, I saw San Francisco kicking their butt yesterday by going up by 20-something points in the third quarter. I didn't know that. But I was just like, you know what's best here is to let Gavin just bet a whole bunch of money on this thing, because I don't have a feel for it.
Let's do it one more time, buddy.
One more for $260. Are you going to bet the Super Bowl for all 260?
I don't know. I might do like half of what I owe you.
It's whatever
like
you want to. Honestly, it's whatever you want to do for the Super Bowl.
It's so generous of you, Mike.
Thanks.
So philanthropic, right? Yeah.
Is this how bookies feel? Like, I know Vegas,
no,
it's legal.
Do whatever
but
you want, man.
Like,
you
know,
can I help you?
The bookies that are listening, is that how kind of you guys do it? You might not want to text in because your phone number does come in on that Autoflix Leasing fan text. But, like, do you just like, man, when a guy's down like 1,200 after 3 weeks and you're just like, yeah, if you want to bet all 1,200, go ahead, because then you're going to owe me 2,400.
You don't say that last part.
Oh.
You say, hey, man, let's get you out of trouble. Just put the whole 1,200 down here. You know, you have a family to think of. Can't be fooling around here.
Yeah, you don't want to end the year down.
No.
You know, you got to break even.
Let's get you back in the positive next week. Yeah. It starts here today. Okay, other interesting storylines here. G-Bag Nation, how much pressure is Mahomes going to face from the San Francisco offensive line?
A lot.
Chiefs have a couple of good offensive linemen, but probably not enough to hold back that incredible front. 4 top 15 picks staring you in the face. So what does that do to Mahomes' ability? What does that do to this explosive offense's ability to do what they do?
I think he's going to have to get the ball out in a hurry, and I think that's bad news for Kansas City's offense. Like, everything that I think about logically going through, okay, if this is the case, then what? And it all leads to the 49ers winning the Super Bowl, but I don't know if I'm going to pick against Mahomes.
Well,
I'd figure it out over the next 2 weeks, but like, a lot of his game is predicated on outside of structure, and the play breaks down, you roll out, and you make something wild happen. But I think that the 49ers front is a lot different than what he's seen so far.
Time has changed everything in the NFL, but I think of when we watched the Rams, and they did. They beat the Titans. I think it was 17-9. But going into that, we thought they were going to score 30-something points. And then you thought, oh, against the Patriots, they're going to score 30-something points, because we keep watching The Greatest Show on Turf, and they are just – they're a team that you're going to have to score 30 to have a chance against. But then they got to the Super Bowl against really good defensive teams and struggled to score. I don't know if that's going to happen with Kansas City, because you just look at their last games and you're looking at 34, 33, 28, 40, 51, and 35. those are kind of their recent numbers with Pat Mahomes healthy when he came back of what they were scoring. So it's tough for me, at least, and I'm homerish here on Pat Mahomes, to be like, oh, yeah, you can hold them, you know, into the low 20s, or maybe you could even keep them under 20. It just looks like, man, even in a tough game, he's going to get to 28 points.
Yeah, and that's where I'm thinking they'll probably land, between 24 and 27. I think under 25 has to be what the 49ers' plan is going in, and who knows, they have a great game and maybe they could keep him under 20. I would be surprised by that. But, you know, these big comebacks that he's had, if you look at the efficiency numbers, Tennessee and Houston, they're close to or soundly in the bottom third of the league. And now you're facing a team, I think, in the 49ers who are number two in defensive DVOA and number one in the NFL in total defense.
And their top five offense.
Yeah.
At least I sorted by points per drive, and San Francisco is the fifth best offense
Holy
this year.
Holy cow.
So they're really, 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 really good. And I've gone back and forth three times in the last hour and a half on who I think is going to win the Super Bowl.
Great news, because I'm pulling for Kansas City, and it sounds like when we get to next Friday that you guys are going to put Kansas City on me.
No, we're each going to pick different team, so that the only thing that's guaranteed is you break even.
Yeah. There we go. The ultimate revenge against Mike.
Yeah, take that.
We'll conspire against you.
Where I just end up getting 260 from you and 300 and something from Jeff this
year? Shut up, idiot. Why do you have to say it like that, though?
We got you right where we want you.
Man, I feel pinched right now.
Okay, by the way, Mahomes, you mentioned him. He is the new number one memorabilia guy now in the NFL once again. He passes Tom Brady here over the last couple of weeks with his star, I would say, shooting through the sky, and Brady's perhaps fizzling. Brady was number one the last couple of years. He is now number two, still behind Patrick Mahomes. Running back Ezekiel Elliott's number three. Baker Mayfield number four.
Nice. Commercial's paying off.
No doubt. Yeah, that is a pretty good commercial, though. I like it.
Which one? I didn't. Well, I saw one.
There's one where
audio.
He walks it through the snow because he's in bed with his girlfriend, I think.
Yeah, he lives at the stadium.
Yeah, and then he has to walk and go turn the light. He forgot to turn the lights off, so he has to walk across the field, and it's snowing in Cleveland. So
I love how they're trying to paint him as like a family man, too.
So good.
Yeah. He's laying in bed with a wife like he's in his 40s, all mature, and has kids.
Like it's not a girl that he actually met through Instagram right after he got drafted.
Yeah, and there's not 17 empty cans of beer on the ground, half filled with dip spit. Bears linebacker Khalil Mack there coming in number five. Rodgers six, Dak seven, Saquon eight, Juju number nine there.
That'll stop soon. Didn't go well this year for Juju.
Yeah, that must be a long sample size of time that they're taking these from, because I don't think Odell Beckham Jr. is that popular right now either.
I wonder this, too. Pittsburgh Steelers are one of the most popular teams in the country. Who else are you going to buy at this point?
T.J. Watt, baby.
True.
It's T.J. Watt season.
I guess he didn't make it. Maybe it's just, how many guys were defensive on there that you named? Is there anybody?
Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack, there you go. Number five overall.
Yep.
And everybody else was offensive, right?
Six. Yeah, everybody else is a quarterback, running back, or wide receiver. All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Mike Fisher set to join us. He is at Fish Sports on Twitter. Mike Fisher, double insider. He's got us covered on the Cowboys and the latest on Porzingis here with your Mavs. Is he really going to play tomorrow? We'll ask Fish next here in the G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time to catch up with Mike Fisher. He is at Fish Sports on Twitter. Double insider. Another big weekend of news for the Cowboys. Dez, Jason Witten have been in the news. The Mavericks, obviously, coming off a big win Friday. They're getting set to take on the Clippers tomorrow. We'll talk about them as well. Porzingis' status. What's the deal there? As they were talking yesterday, like he's going to get to play tomorrow, and that would be awesome. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call Frankel and Frankel, 214-333-3333, or go online to frankelfirm.com. They're official lawyers of the Tolo. How the hell are you, Fish?
Outstanding, boys. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Same to you.
I don't know if happy is the right word, but you know what I mean.
Yes, let's remember it with much reverence as
there
appropriate.
You go.
Okay, what's cooking right now, Fish? What do you want to start with, Cowboys or Mavs?
I want to start with a fun suggestion that comes to us from a New York-based Tolo. Mark listens every day, every single minute of every single day. Who's the more likely to play for the Dallas Cowboys next season? candidate number one, candidate number two, or candidate number three. Candidate number one is Dez Bryant, who I had a long sit-down with last night. Candidate number two is Jason Witten, who is quite obviously having people work media back channels for him to try to get something rolling here. And candidate number three, Randy Gregory, also a friend of G-Bag Nation. So who's more likely to play for the Cowboys next year, Dez Witten or Randy Gregory?
Gregory, Witten, Dez.
I would go Witten, Randy, Dez, unless you have some inside information that the Cowboys are out on Witten.
I would go Randy Gregory because at least he's actually, you know, like got a contract. But on the Witten case, he told us on the Thursday of week 17, I'm going to make my decision really quick. And then after the game that Sunday night, he started his presentation to us by saying, if this is the end, and then he went on to talk about what a wonderful experience it'd been. Well, it's been 3 weeks. So what is delaying the quick Jason Witten decision? Is it because Mike McCarthy has said, listen, I'm going to assemble my coaching staff with all due respect. I think we all agree that that's probably in play here, right?
Yeah. I don't think McCarthy wants him to be a part of that.
Coaching staff. I wonder if McCarthy, because they had a conversation, Coach and Witten did, about all the options Jason has. I wonder if McCarthy said, listen, I've looked at what we're going to do at tight end, and I think we're going to do Blake Jarwin. So we're thinking of moving on from there.
Not a lot of options.
I don't want to hire you as a coach because I know you'd be Jerry's select person to take over if I don't immediately succeed.
Not to mention, weren't you talking about the mole? Was that? Yeah, that's interesting too. How about, and we've discussed this before, but if Jason Witten wants to work for the Dallas Cowboys, there's plenty of things he can do besides go down there and cut up film, and there's a way to do that. But if he really wants to do the secret in the dirt, then what if he goes and coaches or plays somewhere else? And then you've got the Chris Mortensen leak, yeah, like the Giants. As if Jason Witten in his interview Jason Garrett in his interview last week wasn't just interviewing for himself, he was interviewing for two Jasons. I find that to be a little too precious, a little too cute that the Witten camp would maybe try to put pressure on, the Joneses by saying, really? Well, then I'll go to the Giants, which certainly Jerry would not enjoy seeing.
Maybe not trying to put pressure, but if it all falls into place and you're Jason Garrett and you feel the way you do about Witten, I could absolutely see him making a case. And now the Cowboys have a choice to make, even without Witten trying to put any pressure on him.
Yeah. Now, we already know that Giants ownership is actually the one who hired the offensive coordinator, not the head coach. So the offensive coordinator now gets to go tell the head coach, oh, by the way, I'm hiring your tight end coach.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you think Witten would be impressive enough for other teams that they'd want to sign him as a part of their tight end depth?
I think there's a place for Witten in the NFL still. His view of himself was that he was productive.
Yeah.
I think that's probably true. So can Jason Witten still play better than a whole bunch of guys in the NFL who are a tight end? I think that's true. Is there a time to let it go? Now, I said this, and I turned out
Yeah, when they're not willing
wrong.
To give you $4 million a year is when I'd say that is.
No, that's totally true. When he retired or was contemplating retirement before and then eventually did, isn't his wife a nurse or has a medical background? I think that's right, Jeffrey? Does that sound right?
Sure.
I think so. Well, look, let's pretend it's true. Okay, and I remember saying at the time, when Jason Witten goes home to his lovely wife and all their millions of kids, and she's got a medical background, isn't she saying, honey, that's enough. You're getting out of this thing alive. You played 100 years in the NFL, and you've got your wits about you, and you can bend over and lift up the kids, and why don't you just go play soap pitch softball. And so I'm going to make that plea again to Jason Witten. Maybe it's just time to start the next career. And I would think this. I would think there's a lot of teams in the NFL with the respect that they have for Witten that a lot of teams would want to put him on their coaching staff, but not as the head coach or the offensive coordinator yet. He's got to go find the secret in the dirt.
Well, speaking of the secret in the dirt, that Oxnard practice field really needs to be leveled out. So if, you know, he wanted to keep in that same vein, you know, maybe get some Seems like he'd be good at construction. Doesn't Witten look like a construction guy? Get a hard hat on.
Yeah. He'd be a supervisor though.
Smooth that baby out. Yeah, he'd be in the HD truck.
The heavy duty thing with
the cell phone.
His wife is a trauma nurse.
Yeah. There you go.
He'd have the chirp phone. So,
I knew something.
Need some more dirt over by the 40-yard line.
Yeah. So a Witten decision is around the corner, and we wish him the best. And of course, Randy Gregory still hanging around here. We wish him the best. And then Dez Bryant. And Jeffrey, I asked him, like, are you serious? And he said, yeah, 100, which means 100% in Dez talk. 100 in the right situation. And so he really thinks the Cowboys now are the right situation. And I'm like, but you can't, you're not going to play tight end. He says, no, but I could run some of those Witten routes. So Jeffrey, do you agree with that, first of all?
No.
If you had AIDS, like Noah Brown, we talked about him doing it.
Yeah, and run the Witten routes.
Noah Brown can't play in the league either. No, Dez Bryant's done. He was good guy. I mean, here's my thing with Dez. I love Dez. The last time Dez Bryant was a really good player was 2014. It was over a half decade ago. Holy cow, we get attached to our superstars.
No doubt.
Fresh.
And he gets attached to what he still dreams about,
right?
What he was born to do. So that's a driving force here. I said to him, you know, but the tight end plays tight end. And then he said, well, you know, Garrett's not here anymore. Meaning maybe Mike McCarthy's got some tricky way to put a big wide receiver in that position. And then I said to him the same kind of thing that we kind of just talked about with Witten. I said, so you got your three babies. And he goes, no, Fish, I have four now. So he's got a new one-year-old named Legend Mac Rose is the little boy's name.
Congrats.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, Legend Mac Rose Bryant. So he's got four little babies. I said, why just stay home. Why don't you just stay home? But he's still working out. He's at the Michael Johnson Performance Center. Jeffrey, you know that joint, right?
I do.
And he's up there a lot, apparently. And then a bunch of NFL prospects, you know, guys that are going to be in the draft, they work out there a lot too, do they not?
They do.
And so he says, I'm working out with them. They're working out with me. I'm keeping up with them. I'm trying to teach them some tricks. So he's serious in the exact right spot. I don't think the Cowboys are the exact right spot.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're just not going to talk about the fact that even when he was a younger man, it didn't work well with him and Dak. But that whole storyline was real, that they just, you know, weren't a great fit together.
Yeah, and you know, maybe there's some maturity. You know, he talks about having grown up a little bit. But I did bring up now listen, on Twitter, you look like the same Dez to me. You're funny and you're ridiculous and you're kooky and you're flamboyant and you're mad and you're all the same Dez. No, you know, I'm growing up. So in the right situation. And so, you know, I want for Dez what he wants, but mostly same thing. At age 31, he made $70 million in his career.
That's a good haul.
I believe that's right.
Yeah.
He owns LaMarcus Aldridge's old house, which has, like, you know, 2,000 bedrooms in it. I just think he's fine. So, Dez, if you're listening right now, just start that college football podcast. That's the other thing he wants to do. He wants to do a college football podcast. So that's what I'm saying. Just go have fun, dang it. Don't get hurt anymore.
What if he joined Broadus and Jeff on Trust the Tape, like, a couple times for the draft?
Let's do it. And see, I think again, Dez in his way would be really good at that. Now, as I joke about him all the time, he's got to show up on time. That thing, Broadus runs that thing like clockwork, does he not?
Jeff runs that thing like clockwork.
Oh, does he now? Okay, very good. Mm-hmm. All right.
He's 31 years old, guys. I'm just saying.
I know.
They get plenty left in those legs.
Conceivably. Now, the Achilles, you know, that can make you not quite the same. And sure, we've seen the workout videos on social media. And I don't know, Jeffrey, some of those look good, I guess. I don't know.
I don't want to answer because the text is mad at me for saying that a guy who last was good 6 years ago can't play in the league. So okay, no then comment. No, I don't think he looks good in those videos either.
Okay, let's go beat something.
Good, no
nice
comment.
No comment. Wait, yeah,
good. That was a Jerry no comment. Listen, I don't want to talk about it. But you guys are ridiculous.
No
2015,
comment, but
16, 17. Do you know how often it was a completion if you threw the ball to Dez? 50% of the time. He was washed 5 years ago. Five!
Which is going to make the comeback story that much better, Jeff.
Is that not why they call them 50-50 balls? Because I just catch half of them?
Yeah, there you go. Jump balls all the time.
Kristaps Porzingis. So Carlisle today says, yeah, tomorrow, Clippers in town. If he's feeling good, he'll play. Well, that's not a very good endorsement. So the last thing Carlisle said about this that I just can't let go of, he said, it's an unidentified issue. Like, there's something with his knee that we don't know. We don't know what it is. It's no big deal, but we don't know. But if you don't know, how do you know it's no big deal? So my concern continues. He worked today. Oh, by the way, he went to that. What's the UCF, UFC? What's that thing?
UFC. I watched that like UFC, a loser on the couch by myself. Yeah,
I saw it on Instagram. All 13 seconds of it.
I don't really get it, but Porzingis went to Las Vegas. The Mavericks practiced on Sunday, I think. Then he zipped off to Las Vegas, watched the thing, and then came back. And some people are upset. Some Mavericks fans are upset, saying, "I thought you were hurt." But now, you know, dude, he didn't fight in the UCF UFC. He just watched it.
No, that was last summer.
That's right. Maybe he went there to pick up some fighting tips for the next time he goes back to Latvia.
Maybe.
But Porzingis as a viewer is fine. Porzingis as a player, I guess we'll see again, as this is Porzingis watch day 22, I believe, and the clock ticking to day 23.
This could be awesome if he plays tomorrow. You know, we really need him to play, do well, and then 48 hours later play again, because, you know, this is the period of time between workout and getting to the court that last week proved to be too much. And if they're, you know, if it's a mystery diagnosis, I'm highly nervous. Mike, I definitely think this team has championship capability, and it's not like baseball or football where if you lose a star player, you say, okay, well, let's get back to work here. In basketball, it's critical. You know, it's over. You go from, hey, we're contenders, to, oh, that guy's done? Forget about it. And, you know, quarterback and ace starting pitcher is the only place that happens in the other sports.
And goaltender, right?
Oh, yeah, in hockey? Suppose so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
okay,
huge.
One
so
more thing.
We'll see.
Yeah. Okay. So, General, is it your opinion that Aaron Rodgers, that his comments about, well, we're, you know, at least we had some fun this year, is that a shot at Mike McCarthy?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's
okay.
The only thing up for debate to me is whether or not you think Aaron Rodgers has credibility in these matters. Do you trust his review?
Okay. Now, he has, since their conflict, he has come out and said, hey, I love Mike. You know, we had a good partnership. You know, of course, we were two alphas. We had conflict and stuff. But I would just say to this, to Cowboy fans who are concerned about something like that being here, I hope that happens here. I hope 13 years from now, Dak Prescott has a Super Bowl and then is mad at Coach McCarthy.
That's a good take.
Right?
Yeah.
Give me 13 years of conflict. They went to the playoffs how often in Green Bay? They went
9 out of 13,
four NFC championship games and a Super Bowl. I would love that sort of conflict here, because in Dallas, we had conflict anyway and never did any of those things. So give me conflict and wins, Mike McCarthy. Bring it on.
Love it, Fish. Anything else before we let you go?
Love it.
Have a good one. He is at Fish Sports on Twitter. The great Mike Fisher. Okay, we're heading towards some baseball nuggets now, Baskey. Where are we going?
Well, Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve spoke at their winter caravan. We hear from them next on The Cheating.
Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Here we go. It's time to get some baseball nuggets, and here he is, Bassick.
All right, so the Houston Astros have their kind of winter kickoff, whatever you want to call it, caravan, and selling season tickets and stuff. So the media gets to interview the players that were there. I guess I saw Justin Verlander was playing golf. He doesn't want to do stuff like that. So,
well, that would jive well with the alleged burner account of Verlander's that people thought they might have found on the internet. That's calmly been responding to all the cheating things and talking about how the pitchers had no idea and Verlander had no idea, and we shouldn't be calling the Astros cheaters. We should be calling their hitters cheaters.
You think that might be Kate Upton? She's pretty vocal, too, on social media. Okay, so I want you guys to listen to Alex Bregman first, and then I'll listen, and then we'll listen to Jose Altuve second. And I want to ask you the question as you're listening. Do you think they're lying about 2019? Or do you think that they're telling the truth about 2019 and cheating? Here we go, Alex.
The commissioner came out with a report. MLB did their report, and the Astros did what they did, meaning they made their decision on what they're going to do, and I have no other thoughts on it.
Alex, how do you feel about that there are those who want to say this taints or damages what you guys did in 2017?
Like I said, the commissioner made his report, made his decision. The Astros made their decision, and no further comment on it.
That's not a denial of anything.
No.
He denied nothing.
So 2017, when you listen to Alex Bregman, when it comes to 2017, he pretty much answered, by the way, he answered every question with pretty much that. He just kept repeating the same thing.
It's not a strong denial. He doesn't want to say anything that's going to be held against him in the future. That could be good crisis management advice, but it seems really, really suspicious when people are in these kind of spots.
Yeah. And I will say, with 2017, listening to what I saw like on MLB Network today and just kind of reading stuff, no player is saying they didn't cheat in 2017.
No, they
pretty
know that
much
they
every player is saying, without saying it, oh yeah, we cheated in 2017. When they are asked, do you think it taints it or whatever, you can see in their body language, this is what's tough with just audio, you can see in their body language they don't like that question, like, no, we won the championship. But it's a legitimate question that has to be asked to all these guys. Do you feel like you're really, truly the champions, like, you did it. You overcame the odds, one of 30 teams, and you did it for the first time.
They're going to be in very strong denial about that, right? I mean, you don't want to admit it. It's your greatest accomplishment. It totally changes who you are as a person if you admit that. They're going to be leaning much more into lots of people were doing it. The lines were blurred.
Here's Jose Altuve getting questioned at Houston Astros winner caravan thingy.
Believe me, in the end of the year, everything will be fine. We're going to be in the World Series again. People don't believe it. We will. You know, we will. Like, we made it last year. We went one game away of winning it all. You know, I'm happy for the Nationals. They won everything. They're a really good team. They deserve it, but we'll be in the World Series again. Maybe with them, maybe with another.
It's a good denial, too. Yeah. Man, they're really
pretty much
things.
He didn't deny anything of 2017. He did deny, he said it was ridiculous. I think he used the word ridiculous when talking about the buzzer situation, which made me think, I'll just give you my opinion. I can tell every Houston Astro hitter knows that they cheated and cheated hard in 2017, and they are not going to say that they didn't. They're also not going to say they did, but the 2019 buzzer situation, at least through Jose Altuve, directly answering it, to said it's ridiculous. So it makes me think, this makes me question, did they really have a buzzer? They could have. But I know that they're saying, without saying it, they're not denying anything in 2017. They're pretty much like, yeah, we cheated and cheated hard, and it's correct. We had the TV and we were banging trash cans, but they are denying the buzzer thing.
Well, they're very confident, and that they need that to be true, right? They need 2020 to be a big year for them. It stinks they lost their pitcher, because this next 162 games is going to go a long way towards how people feel about 2017 and 2019.
And I think you bring up a great point. Is, to me, it will be, and Jose Altuve's like, we'll be back. I don't care if they're back playoff-wise, because pitching has a lot to do with if you get back to the World Series. I want to see in the regular season. There's 162 games, and as far as we know, especially with what you guys just got penalized and what the ownership said, is you guys aren't going to cheat in 2020. You're going to have to play the game of baseball like we think a lot of other teams are playing. Is like, you're going to try to see if the pitcher's giving away signs or the catcher's giving away signs, but you're not going to be able to illegally do it through technology to see if they're giving away signs by the way you're doing it. So if their numbers throughout 162 games drops and their strikeouts go up, we're going to know throughout this stretch of 2017 through 2019, where they were a great offensive team, that they really weren't that great. They were just good and went to the status of great because they cheated their way to greatness.
Going to be so much pressure on them to be awesome.
I know.
I don't know how they're going to make it through and have a good year. It'll be
tough. If they ever, like, the assumption, this was a great assumption on Autoflex Leasing Fan Text the other day, of what if Jose Altuve was doing it without cheating last year and then struggled, and after 2 months he's like, there has to be another way to help me out because I'm struggling, and then his numbers went way up. So this year I just wonder if he struggles, like, he doesn't have, at least, you know, maybe he will go, maybe he will resort, and maybe he didn't resort at all to cheating, but.
Yeah, you know, the buzzer story is weird. I feel like the waters have been so muddied, I have a hard time having a strong opinion on if they did it or not. You know, there were a lot of pictures over the weekend of, like, Little League baseball players with the little crease in their shoulder and their chest area.
Well, that's serious business in Little League these days. You got to get any advantage you can.
They're cheating, too. I don't know. I was convinced that the seam in the jersey or whatever wasn't a clear indication that there was a bug or anything in there.
There was such – I saw this sign. I think they had, like, some sort of Houston marathon yesterday. It might have been, like, a 5K. But there was this unbelievable picture of a guy holding up a sign at this like race, like a marathon race, and it said, "The Astros stole my other sign."
Yeah.
And so I just think that there's so many ways throughout the 2020 season when you can make posters and stuff of what the Houston Astros.
What a massive buzzkill! You know, I don't want my team to be associated with. With any of this, because if I'm an Astros fan and I'm being honest with myself right now, and now I do know a lot of Astros fans are out front saying no, and maybe they're going to have a very similar to New England Patriots type of experience with this, but I don't want to have to do that to enjoy my championship. I don't want to have to be in denial.
Yeah.
I don't want any threat that makes me go into a weird spot and, you know, pretend like facts don't exist. Because right now, this is horrible. It's your one championship, and if you're honest with yourself, it is in great doubt.
I also think... Answering them, I think Alex Bregman gave us absolutely nothing and kept saying that phrase of the commissioner did this and that. But let me just throw this another way. If they do find out that they wore a buzzer, I think both players, if it was just those two players, it's probably more than them if the Houston Astros did it. But the way that Jose Altuve denied it and Alex Bregman just didn't answer, do you think their penalties would be the same, or do you think that they would penalize Altuve more because he truly lied about it? He truly said this is ridiculous and threw his agent.
Oh yeah, that'll get you. Yeah.
You think that'll get him if let's just say Bregman, like, hey, it's 100 games for you, Altuve. You lied.
Yeah,
you get a whole season.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why Bregman answered it that way. He has a guy right down there in Andy Pettit who spent a significant time at the Astros. He gives you a full illustration of the two different ways this can go if you are humble or if you are in strong denial.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still shocked that no players have actually been punished for this. You know, I think Major League Baseball's primary goal is to get this thing to go away with as few careers as impacted as possible. And now they're going to be involved in the cover-up as well.
I did see coming out of Boston, J.D. Martinez, who had an unbelievable year in 2018. I believe he finished second to his own teammate, Mookie Betts.
Did he volunteer that he cheated?
No, he said they're not going to find anything here. Like, we didn't do anything like that in Houston. And I'm just like...
Did you hear CeCe over the weekend? Your boy CeCe?
Well, I know that he was on the Showtime show with the NFL. Did he do more?
I'm not sure where he said it, but I heard the cut where he, like, CeCe Sabathia kind of went off. He was like, I don't care. He's like, nobody can tell me differently. We won the World Series in 2017.
Okay.
He's like, they beat us four times all in their house.
Okay.
They couldn't beat us in our stadium, and they couldn't have beat us in their house if they weren't cheating. He's like, so from now on, I will refer to as we won the World Series in 2017. And somebody's like, well, what about the Dodgers? And he's like, we would have whooped their ass. Don't even ask me about the Dodgers. It's really funny.
All right, so my next nugget actually goes to the Texas Rangers. This was just a kind of a fun article. It said, the number one jersey for each team for 2020 to get, that would be a new one. Do you guys want to take a guess on what they said the Rangers jersey?
Kluber.
It is. Number 28, Corey Kluber, will be kind of the jersey everybody wants to get for the 2020 season, getting a new one. I'll throw this out. If they were to get Nicholas Castellanos,
it would still be Kluber.
You think
it'd
be Kluber because he's a two-time Cy Young winner?
Oh, yeah.
Also from Capel. I know he doesn't really like. Like, if somebody says, hey, you're from the area, he's like, no, I'm not.
Somebody will tell him to start claiming that. It'd be a good time now to start claiming
I think so,
that.
Too. I don't think he should say, like, I'm going to live here forever or whatever, but I think he should start saying, yeah, it's awesome. I went to high school
I think he just had a bad experience, you know, growing up somewhere and then being dropped into a completely different culture at maybe the most awkward time in your life for a year. And it's like, hey, what do you think of Texas? You know, if you had grown up in Texas and then just got plucked and moved to Kansas for 12 months, there's probably a pretty good chance you were filled with so much angst and hatred for your parents. Like, how did you take me away from all my friends and put me here? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think by the time Kluber has been here now as an adult with money and options and he's popular, he's going to have a much more positive view of Texas this time around, yeah, especially being a family man and all that.
Now, the other one, which is really fun, this is by T.R. Sullivan on MLB.com, Texas Rangers page. And it is, hey, could these guys have a pretty big impact on the 2020 Texas Rangers? And he refers to Danny Santana. Like, we had no clue when the Rangers got Danny Santana, and honestly, neither did the Rangers, that he was going to have as big an impact as he did in 2019. And I thought this was really fun because, you know, I didn't really care about this at all, but I'm just going to mention it because I didn't even mention it at the time. He says, number one, the guy that could have a major impact on the Texas Rangers that you're not thinking about would be
Solak.
No, Aroldis Garcia.
Huh?
He was purchased from the St. Louis Cardinals. So just to give you an idea of who he was, he's 26 years old. Gavin, you'll like this.
Cuban.
He is a star from Cuba, signed by the Cardinals in 2017. For $2.5 million, he was touted as a player with speed, power, strong throwing arm. He hit 32 home runs and had 96 RBIs with 14 stolen bases last year in AAA, but only had 22 walks against 159 strikeouts. Sounds like he might fit in perfectly.
Modern day player.
With our lineup.
That's right.
And he says, T.R. Sullivan, that's the red flag that made him available. But he says he can play all three outfield positions and is a right-handed hitting bat. So when you do still have Chu and Calhoun and Gallo all in your outfield, I haven't really thought much about him, but maybe Aroldis Garcia could be a player. Because, Jeff, you brought this up, I think, off the air, and maybe this is for another time because I know we're up against it, but you're not crazy about, like, we really have a center fielder we can count on.
No. Nuh-uh. I mean, like, right now, it's
Danny Santana's going to start.
I like him, but I think ideally Danny Santana gets to do what they intended for him to do, which is just be super utility, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a look at Cowboys Twitter. We have a super fun idea presented by Dez. What do you think? Is there any possibility of that happening? Plus more right here. Cowboys Twitter is next in the GBAC Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.